I only had one piece of advice for Chuck when he comes. I told him, everything will be fine unless you forget the suckers on Sunday morning. As we read from Galatians 6, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you give us your word today to help us in sharing and bearing one another's burdens. For you have a plan for your church, and you have a plan for our lives together. Be with us every step of the way through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that you may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So someone once said, as America is a melting pot of different cultures and different ideas. Someone once said, when we were borrowing customs from other cultures, particularly Hispanic cultures, who passed up the siesta? Today we're talking a lot about Sabbath and about resting, but it's also about letting go. For me, taking Sabbath, if I'm honest, is something I've probably avoided, something I've put off. Heck, I even started a doctoral program so I didn't have to do it. But I feel responsible, and I do the responsible thing as best I can. But there was great wisdom in the words of the band, the 80s band REO Speedwagon, when they said this: just hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. Something I've needed to do is to surrender, to let go. To hold on too tightly is wrong. To let go is right. You see, to confuse being in a position of responsibility with being in the position of God is a bad thing. It would be a sin. As we trained elders and deacons once again this year, I asked them a simple question. And the question is this: who is the head of the church? I've asked this question continuously throughout my ministry, and it has a simple answer. It is not the elders. It is not the deacons. It is not the pastor. It is not the presbytery. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. If Jesus Christ is in charge, we'll be fine. And only as we follow Jesus Christ and gather as sessions and deacons and presbyteries to discern the mind of Christ, are we really discerning what God's will is for the church. That's the reason that we as Presbyterians have elders and deacons, because we discern the mind of Christ together. On the recent, on the new version of The Twilight Zone, there is an episode where a child runs for president. And one of his platforms is that he hates old doctors sticking needles in his faces, in his face. He hates old doctors sticking needles in his face. And when he is president, he's going to ban old doctors. But his idea of old is not our idea of old as Presbyterians, right? What the Presbyterian system of governance cherishes is the possibility of finding wisdom in years, but also the possibility of finding wisdom in diversity, and diversity of what that wisdom might look like with regard to gender, age, race. That elders and deacons are called from different backgrounds and different experiences to discern the mind of Christ. And this is what fits with Paul's advice to bear one another's burdens. Man, there are a lot of burdens out there to be borne. There are really so many that no one person can do it. But as you saw with our bag, if each person would take just a little bit off of each other person, there would be less burden in the world. Paul wants the early church and for us to share each other's burdens of work, and to share each other's emotional and spiritual burdens. There's a lot of weight in this world, but the church exists to take some of that weight off. If the church is a heavy place to come, that is not good. If it is a place of lightness and joy and hope, that's what God wants. But the same Paul who said we have to bear one another's burdens, that we've got to take on the weight of other people, also said we all must test our own work. I have a friend who is convinced that we're alone in this world, that there's nobody out there to help you. You've got to take care of your own issues and your own decisions, because when it comes down to it, you're it. Nobody will do it for you, and nobody will help you. In one sense, that's true. Only you know your issues and the things that you have to do. Whether they get done is really up to you, and whether you get worked on is really up to you. I don't just mean your to-do list of stuff to do in life, not your grocery list, but this is also your spiritual and emotional to-do list as well. These are the things that God is calling on you to work on the inside. You see, we get to help others, but we don't get to criticize them for their burdens. And we really can't know the burdens that they're carrying each day. And so we realize that we can only work on ourselves. Seeking the advice of friends, getting therapy, spiritual counsel, prayer, all these things are great. But only you know what's going on the inside. And only you can work on it and be responsible for it. Someone once said, "The man who blames others for his problems hasn't begun his education. The man who blames himself has begun his education, and the man who blames no one has finished his education." You can allow others to come up alongside you and to help you, to give you a big hug, to bear your burdens, and to be a listening ear. It doesn't mean that you're on your own, but it does mean that only you get to decide you. And that's good news. If you're trying to follow the Lord and do what the Lord wants, only you can test your work. And nobody but Christ can judge you. So go easy on yourself. Do your best, and don't worry so much about failing. If God's in it, you won't fail. You see, the church is about the long game. It's not about the short game. It is about sowing more than it is about reaping. In Georgia, we were surrounded by farms everywhere. And I was on a presbytery committee that was working with another church that was in a real hurry to get a minister. And it was going to take some time. And they were angry. Why can't we do it right now? And I looked across the table and I said, "Do you farm?" They looked back at me in shock, and one of the members of their church said, "Well, I used to." And I said, well, how long does that take? He said, huh? I said, how long does that take? From the time you plant to the time you harvest, how long does it take to farm? He said, months. And I answered, well, that's how long this is going to take, a couple of months. I answered that we were doing what we could, that it wouldn't take longer than a few months, but it was like farming. There was just no way around the waiting. But that process would come to an end. Most of what we do in the church is sowing and not reaping. Many of the seeds we plant in people's lives and in the life of our community, we will never see the results of today. The good you do today, you may not ever see the results of. You have to be patient for eternity. Not for a year from now, or even a decade. Our church needs to look deep into our past, even though it's only 20 years, look deep into our past to see what many said wouldn't last, and it's lasted 2 decades. To look deep into the future also, to know that if we believe in the future, then we must sow it in the Spirit now. George Goodman was the associate general presbyter in this presbytery for many years. And at a presbytery meeting many years ago, he echoed the words of Gamaliel in Acts. Gamaliel stands up and says, if the Spirit is in it, it will succeed. If not, it will fail. Those same words stand true today. As Gamaliel said, if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Nothing of God is capable of being stopped. Anything not of God is not worth doing. In verse 9, Paul says, let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Sometimes we're tempted to do what is quick or easy. Those are the tempting things to do. But God has not called us to do that. God has called us to do what is right all the time. The harvest time is the right time, but that time is not yet. Figuring out what is right might be a challenge sometimes, to figure out what to do, to know what's right to do. But once we know what's right, we've got to keep going and to do it. Paul also says here that what we are doing as the church is the good of all, and especially the family of faith. So if you have to choose what you're doing and what our church is doing, if you're asking for whom we're enacting our faith, for whom we're doing this project of being the church, it's for everybody. Jesus has called us to benefit everyone. It's not an either-or question. Should we be doing things for ourselves, the church, or should we be doing things for the world? The answer is here, and it's clear. It's for the world, but especially for the family of faith. Note that caveat, especially for the family of faith. Believers are counted in all that. We do for others, for our neighbors, but we also care for ourselves so that we can care for our neighbors. What we're trying to do is share the gospel through doing good for everyone. This means that we don't get to leave anybody out. And Paul has a final goal here. It's the goal that is enacted in this table each time we have the Lord's Supper. The goal is a new creation, a restoration. As the confession of 1967, and as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, a reconciliation with God and with humanity. A reconciliation with creation. That one day in the kingdom, things will be like the garden. A time when God ruled in hearts and on the earth. Paul had a big vision for all the earth, for all of creation. It started in these little bitty communities in an unfree empire. But these little groups would transform things in the world. Today, the same vision is true for the church. That the future is a hopeful transformation of this world. that it begins with each of us, bearing one another's burdens and doing what is good for all. Paul believed this in the face of an uphill future. Paul believed this in the face of everything. Today, we believe in this same hope, this same spirit that is building the future in Christ. May we as the church do good for all, and especially for the family of faith. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the words of Paul today. Help us to bear one another's burdens, to be a positive experience in the life of others, as lonely as that life can be at times, so that others will know that you care about them. And help us to do good for all. That we're sowing today as your church. Help us to sow the faith that you gave us in Jesus Christ, that all may come to know his goodness, and that one day all will be with him in his kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.